Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, AMA, as we do every single Wednesday at this time, you ask, we answer. AMA, of course, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line, three questions. Now, before we get to the questions that have come in, let's welcome Mr. Ruben Amaro.
Hey.
Into the house today. Good morning, Ruben.
Back.
All right, Ruben, first question.
We missed you, buddy.
New season. Always miss you, man. First question for Ruben AMA. All right, and then start to the little stuff that came
in. Oh, yeah, our listeners that we do the show for. Yeah, the little people.
I got a former GM here.
Yeah, that's the way to look at it. The listeners, you make the show work.
All right, Rube.
There's no show without listeners, I'm just saying.
All right, I'm gonna compliment Rube, but I'm also going to criticize him here a little bit.
It's going to be a backhand compliment.
So it's more of a criticism. I probably asked you this question before in October. Honestly, I don't remember the answer, which means I didn't listen that much to what you said.
What else is new?
But I'm going to ask it again. All right, from a GM standpoint, which you were for a number of years and a couple times in the postseason. Playoffs.
Thrice.
Three times. Well done.
Playoffs.
More nervous or excited as a general manager in the postseason?
Nervous in the first couple of rounds. Excited when we get to the World Series.
Fair. Yeah, it makes sense.
Really nervous in the first couple of rounds. And when we got to the World Series, it's like, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And in 2009... I mean, I was just sort of like amazed that I was sitting in, you know, Yankee Stadium watching us play game one with Cliff Lee on the mound.
That's sweet. No,
that was awesome.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, Seltzer, they're not the little people. They're not the little questions. They're a great audience with questions. What do they got, James?
There you go. That's better. Let's go to the text line. Any highlights from your guys' time off?
Oh, gosh. Well, like I told you, I did three things. Hung with family, hung with friends, and did nothing.
Which
was with Amy involved the whole time. But like, nothing might have been the best. You know what was the best? I'll tell you the best. The best was we had a family luncheon with two teachers from the prep, very close with, very dear friends.
And, so not the ones who said you were the worst student they ever had or anything.
Correct.
Okay,
and
good,
one
good,
of their wives good. And just... It was really special. It was
That's cool.
I mean, this goes back 40 more years. Massive role in our lives. After my father died, like, for us to express to them how meaningful they've been
That's
in our
really
lives,
cool.
that was very special.
That's nice, man.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, that is nice.
You got something that wholesome, John?
Sort of.
Man, that is tough.
That was nice.
I got to meet my girlfriend's cousin.
Nice.
And
nice.
Some, you know, family members.
Good.
Nephews, which was really cool. But I think for me, the big highlight was ice skating. I think ice skating.
Are you
I'm
a good
terrible.
Ice skater?
No. I never rollerbladed either.
Yeah.
During
that surprises
the
me.
Early
me
90s, too, yeah. Rollerblading.
You were skateboarding, right? Yeah.
I was skateboarding. And then the rollerblading thing became like your coaches would not let you put rollerblades on. It was like no one's
and
allowed
breaking
to
wrists
rollerblade.
And stuff, yeah. Right.
So I never got good. I feel like my feet turn in, you know, naturally when I walk. And so that becomes problematic when I'm trying to skate.
Mm.
You know, because I think you want to try to turn your feet out. And mine don't even go that way. So I'm not good, but I didn't fall. But it was the whole family. It was the whole family,
good.
And it was
that's nice.
Wonderful.
That's awesome. You, man. Nice.
All right, so classic. Any new movies or TV shows watched?
Tons. Dude, I told you I'm going to be on a roll here.
Okay, good. You go to any movies over the break?
Yeah. Well,
I saw Gladiator 2, by the way.
Yes, that's good, mine. Right?
Yeah, it's entertaining.
I love
Denzel. Denzel.
I
just
can't
gonna say
Denzel out of my
Denzel.
Head.
That's all I'm going to say.
Stop thinking
He's
about
so great,
him in that
wait,
movie.
Wait,
yes.
Richie, did you see Wicked yet?
No.
You said you were going to. I'm disappointed. You saw Gladiator 2 and not Wicked.
I got distracted with Gladiator 2.
My daughter did take me to Wicked. My daughter took me to Wicked and it was solid.
Cool.
Very solid. Very nice.
All right. So
I need to do that.
James, very nice.
That's an okay.
I told you that I was. This is going to be the year.
You said you're going to go on a roll.
I am.
Yeah.
So I watched a movie I never heard of, but it was good, called Carry On. With
Taron Egerton and Jason Bateman.
I want to see it. Is it good?
It's entertaining.
It's entertaining.
It's like 15 minutes too long.
Very good. But then my big thing this year is to watch movies I should have seen in the past and never did. In the last couple days, Black Hawk Down.
Okay.
Michael Clayton, Down. The Bodyguard, never watched it, Down.
Wow.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah. The Bodyguard? Like Kevin Costner?
I never watched it.
The Bodyguard or My Bodyguard?
Whitney.
Okay.
And then last night, No Country for Old Men. I'm telling you.
What do you think of No Country for Old Men?
Very good, a little strange, but very good.
What do you think of Michael Clayton?
Very good, but not as good as I thought it'd be.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's how I felt. I recently watched No Country for Old Men for the first time, too. And given how much hype that movie gets, I thought it was going to be way better.
Well, and they should have shown the one death that's like the main guy.
Yeah.
And like come
it's
on.
Just, it's, it leaves you come wanting on. More.
I gave you an hour and a half. It's like
it's also really
you
depressing.
You should read it. Read.
Well, anyway.
Read.
Oh, it's a book?
Blood Meridian. Cormac McCarthy. Blood Meridian is a book you should read. Yeah. It's very violent and awful, but also
really solid
picturesque and gorgeous at the same time.
And there it is. AMA with that. We shut it down. All right, a lot of talk here today. Greatest concern with the Eagles and greatest thing that gives us confidence. I mean, there's a lot. The ledger of confidence is so much more robust than the ledger of concern. I mean, let's be real. Concern is Jake Elliott, Jalen Rust, and if you're of the inclination to say Jalen as usual in the passing game, I mean, to me, that's about it. If you want to throw Sirianni in there some will, I wouldn't. I mean, the confidence from the defense to Saquon to individual players on the defense to the offensive line to the mentality of the team. I mean, to how they're 12-1 in their last 13, how they're just a better football team than Green Bay. They're more rested than Green Bay. They got home field advantage. A lot of good stuff going on here. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Dan right now in Philly. What's going on, Dan?
Yo, we live. We hot.
What up? Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Yo, listen, nice one.
Well played.
My New Year's resolution is be more kind to you this year.
Thank you.
Okay? So I don't understand, and I truly mean this. I don't
really?
Know why Andy Boss. Yes, John. Listen,
don't
we gotta
do that.
Grow. We
it's a bad
grow.
Resolution.
We got to grow, John. We got to grow and be better humans. You know, some people.
But
need
does
to
that
be
make
up,
you better?
No, there's a joke coming. There's some kind of
no,
zinger coming.
Joe, I truly mean this. What is wrong with your mom doing your laundry? I think
nothing.
I think it's sweet. You get to see her. She gets to feel like she's a mom again, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Is that why you do it? Yeah. Because it's like an inclusive
thing. Not because you
thing.
Don't want to do it.
Yeah, I believe in inclusivity.
Right. That's right, Joe.
She gets
right.
to feel like oh, she's a mom again.
Subtle. Let a mom be a mom. Let a mom be a mom.
You're just going to spend time with her. How about that?
That's how it works.
Wait, when Clark's 25 years old, he comes home and he asks you to cook his favorite dish.
Oh, 100%. Oh, 100%. Now, cooking, but I look at cooking is feeling like a mom. Doing laundry, it's like a chore.
So I will say this, Dan, in full disclosure, I don't think I have taken clothes to my mom in 8 to 9 months. It's been a while. So I'm kind of weaning
poor
off
Mama
that
D.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Is that congratulations.
Because, is that because you know that you're trying to stop?
I've learned how to do certain... Like
how big is the pile
here
in
is,
your house?
Little embarrassed
no,
is what it
no,
is.
No. Yeah. I'm not. Here's the issue. I've learned how to take certain clothes, nicer clothes, out of the dryer sooner so they don't shrink.
Ah.
You've learned.
Yeah. I set an alarm. I set an alarm. I take them out after like 25 or 30 minutes.
I've learned.
Instead of the full 60.
Very much.
One more side talk before I get to the Eagles, because John, I'm going to appreciate your. I haven't watched Gladiator 2 because I'm scared to. I don't want it to ruin Gladiator.
It won't. It's good.
It's not as good as the first, but it's entertaining.
But it just seems so odd.
It's
just don't
so
worry about
fun.
The first. Just watch
and you
the
know
second.
What? It's going to be a little bit formulaic, and you're going to roll your eyes a few times, but it's going to be gratuitous and violent and. Really awesome.
And honestly, Denzel's worth the price of admission alone.
Dan, bottom line is it's an above average movie. It's worth seeing. I'm telling you.
Okay. All right. Because I'm a huge Gladiator fan. As for the Eagles, listen, my only fear is any given Sunday. It's odd that we're like the most loyal, passionate fans, but when it comes time to acknowledging that we have the best or the second best or tied the best team in the league, we just can't feel comfortable with it. Like we have to look for something that we're worried about. And I don't know. I think we are all around the best team in the NFL. And I'm saying that over Detroit because of all their injuries. So Going in, it's just the any given Sunday fear that can get me. I mean, anybody can lose any given Sunday, and if there's a bunch of mistakes or something like that, that's how we're going to lose. We're not going to lose because of a certain fear that you have, Joe, or anybody else has, whether it's your non-confidence.
Well, the ball can bounce the other way. I mean, that happens.
Any given Sunday, right?
No question.
Any team. So I don't actually have a fear or an insecurity about any particular thing in our team.
Dan, give me a great answer. Wild sports play. What do you got?
There was a 40-year-old in the prime of his athletic career playing against 80-year-olds in a baseball game and had a dog run the first.
With the dog included.
What a perfect
setup. So, Ruben, you were not at that fantasy camp. This is 2019. But I had pulled the groin, and I was also going for a bet. I had to get a certain amount of hits and the whole deal.
Right.
And so Brazier set up because I couldn't effectively run the first. I would back because I can, you know, like I can stroke it in basketball. I can whack it in baseball. And I smacked.
You could whack it in baseball?
You know, the
you
ball.
Whack
come
it.
On you know what I'm saying?
Come on.
It was in the left center field. I whacked that ball to left center field.
I could see you shooting. I saw that. But to whack the baseball?
Settle down.
Come on.
All right. My point is, it would have been a double. The damn dog didn't know to make a left turn. Dog runs only to first. Doesn't go to second base. Would have been a double. But anyways, yeah. But
is that why you don't like dogs?
But the dog had to run for you.
No, I don't like dogs because they bite you at times, bump into you, bark at you, slobber on you. And by the way, I like the dogs I like. I dislike the dogs I dislike. But it's really the owners. The worst words in the world are, don't worry about him. No, no, I do. Oh, don't let him bother you. Nobody does. And you bother me as the owner, telling me to not let him bother me when he already has.
Now, see, Joe, I'm the opposite.
It's a disgrace.
When I had my previous dog, Sasha, I would tell new people, don't make a football move around him.
Smart. You know, and that's a better
get
owner.
Get up slowly.
Better owner.
And get to know
him. I agree. The owner is the issue. Don't rip the dogs, man.
Yeah. I mean, some dogs are a little rude. You know, David Bowie, who passed away, I guess, about 10 years ago today, thereabout, would have been his birthday. Bowie.
Yeah.
He was an all-timer, man.
Wow.
Let's see. He passed away in 2016, and he was born in 47. So this would have been, what is that? 78. Would have been his 78th birthday.
Yeah, 78. Been 78.
He was phenomenal, man. David Bowie. Holy mackerel.
I keep doing 2024. I got to get to 2025. James. I was doing the math. I said 77.
I'm going to ask you, Ruben, the same question I asked James yesterday. Have you written a check or anything yet wrong date-wise?
In my lifetime?
No, this year.
This
year. Get to 25 and you're still writing 24.
I have not.
Do you write the physical check?
Every once in a while, not very many.
Good man, because people got on
every
my case yesterday.
Every once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
You know, somebody come over the, somebody come over the house, do some work, write a check.
There you go.
Some people don't have Venmo.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Some people don't have Venmo.
Most people do.
Most people do, but some people don't.
I'm going to guess Joe DeCamera does not have Venmo.
So I do.
No,
these guys.
He doesn't
we
use
had
it.
To forcefully
shamed
provide.
Me.
Oh, you had to shame into it? I got you.
Well,
it worked out well. All right, let's hope the Eagles and the Green Bay Packers works out real well for the Eagles. We had Nick Sirianni on the program yesterday. We'll play over the next hour or so a lot of the notable answers that he gave when we had him on, including when John was asking Sirianni about playing Green Bay again. Let's listen to that exchange from yesterday.
You get to go all the way back to the beginning to get ready for the beginning of the playoffs. What's the biggest difference in the Packers, and what's the biggest difference in your team?
Yeah, there's been so many football games that have been played. There's been so many different things. Again, as you go through each week, just like I was saying earlier, you go through the same process. Process remains the same. But you tweak things as you go, as far as, hey, we're pretty good at this, let's do this a little bit more, and then that grows, and hey, we're not quite as good at this, let's pull back on that. And they do the same thing. That doesn't mean that you don't go and watch the tape from the beginning of the year, because we will. You do that from, if you hadn't played an opponent in a year, you'll go back and watch the tape from the year before.
Sure.
If you hadn't played an opponent in 2 years, you'll go back. I mean, I'll go back 3 or 4 years if we hadn't played that opponent in a while, and just to watch that football game. So it's the same thing here. But what I just have a lot of respect for this football team. I think Matt LaFleur is a great football coach, and they obviously have done some really great things there. I think he's got some special players that he coaches up well, and him and his staff coach up well. Just a lot of respect. And they've continued to get better. I think both teams are no doubt better than they were, in Brazil in week one. and it'll be a good matchup.
So, John, and again, Sirianni, that was with us yesterday. So, John, you've played in games in the playoffs where you're playing against a team you played in the regular season. Do you, as a player, watch the whole game? Like, the coaches are going to watch it over and over again. Players dig into?
Absolutely. It is. You're watching everything you can, every play, going back seasons, going back years. If this defensive coordinator has been elsewhere, you know, you're watching cut-ups from those games, those teams. You're just getting as much information as you can. Normally, the coaches do an incredible job of facilitating this, giving cut-ups to the guys. Here's Green Bay on first down. Here's Green Bay in third and short. Here's Green Bay. Let's see what they look like in goal line situations, you know, goal to go situations. Let's see the red zone cut-ups. But, they're going to go back, watch the first game of the year. Even though these teams have transformed, I mean, look at our defense and how much everything was in flux week one of the year. Both teams have established much a better feel for who they are on both sides of the football. Our identity is much more established, I think, both sides. Their season, they had so much hope. We really did start the season sort of with the same level of youthfulness, hopefulness in the fan bases. And our team took off. Theirs ended up having a bit more of a rocky way with it. They stagnated at times.
They were in a brutal division, though. I will say this. I do wonder,
brutal.
To have a third, to have the record that, what are they, 12-5 or 11-6?
11-6.
All right, to be 11-6 in a division with one team with 14 wins and one team with 15 wins.
I don't remember.
I mean, that's a good 11-6.
Yeah, but their wins weren't great. Like, the Rams is probably their best win of the season. Like, after that, it's like Seattle or San Francisco. I mean, they didn't, they played some tough teams, but they didn't beat tough teams.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. All right, big game coming up on Sunday, obviously. We'll talk to Ross Tucker. He's going to join us in the next couple of minutes. Ruben Amara with us here in studio. Let's go to the phones. So,
the idea of playing the same team in the regular season, playing the same team in the postseason, I have the most egregious example of this.
Carolina, 0-3.
Well, okay. But
Seltzer, how's that one?
No, I'm saying when I played in Oakland, I played the same team back-to-back weeks.
I remember that.
The last week of the regular season in the New York Jets. Yeah. And we lost because no one showed up on our team. We lost the number one seed because of it. The next week, all week long, we got reamed by our coaches for letting that happen. We played the exact same team, that Jets team, who had to come to Oakland in the exact same place where we just got beaten by them. And we trounced them because we were the better team and we were so much angrier. This time of year, the better team is more often than ever is going to win. They pull out all the stops. You know, you're not leaving anything at home or in the trunk in the postseason. So that's why I feel like it's a more accurate depiction of who's the best team. The best team survive. That's why I feel so good about our team.
Good. You know, one of the things that strikes me thinking about this game, the Eagles have a lot of history this century of playing a team a second time in a season, or sometimes a third time in a season. Like, you know, Tampa Bay 0-2. Eagles have played Tampa in 0-2. 0-3 Carolina. Eagles have played Carolina in 0-3. You go to 0-6, obviously, against the Giants. 2009, John, you talked about the Jets and Raiders playing twice. Eagles lost two games in a row to the Cowboys. Week 17, lost the 2 seed, play again, get bombed down there. I mean, even the last time the Eagles played Green Bay.
2022, they played the Giants in the playoffs again.
That's right. Green Bay was another week one start of the playoff scenario. Happened literally the exact same thing, except the Eagles lost week one here. That's when Vic replaced Cobb. And then lost again when Aaron Rodgers beat them and Vic threw the interception. So there's a lot of that.
Fortunately, the second time around for us, this team got so much better. Our team
I agree with you, John.
Through the course of the year. We learned our identity. And we are as healthy as ever. They are really banged up right now. They just took a major blow.
They did.
Injury-wise. The game before this. So completely different boat. And while we have ascended, they've stagnated.
Yeah. All right, Ross Tucker shortly on the program. Let's get to Ed in Phoenixville right now. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, team. Good morning, Ruben. How's everyone doing?
Doing great, Ed.
Doing great.
I heard like the relative concern on this defense is the pass rush, and I'm not quite as concerned. And I think it's a testament to how disciplined Fangio has these guys playing. I mean, they never seem to like over pursue on pass rush downs. I mean, we didn't see Lamar Jackson breaking those long 30-40 yard runs. We didn't, you know, Joe Burrow wasn't really able to move around in the pocket as easily. So I think, you know, creating that level of discomfort in the pocket for the quarterback, I think they're doing a pretty good job at.
And I think they're doing a great job. I think it's a great point. I think there's a lot of things here. The corners are playing great. Your point is right. They contain well. But also, guys got to get credit. I mean, if Nolan Smith stunk, then they'd have a problem.
It's not just the corners.
But he's playing pretty good.
What we have to draw attention to is coverage is not just the cornerbacks. Right. Coverage is not just the DBs.
Yep.
Our safeties and cornerbacks are fitting together seamlessly. But the linebackers, they have to fit into the scheme too.
Well, yeah.
The linebackers, sometimes the DNs will drop to a zone, that sort of thing. But our linebackers, Zach Bond, Nakobe Dean, who the young guys who've been in there, you can see that they have such a good feel for
space.
They've been taught so well.
Zach Bond knows where to. His range as a linebacker in coverage may be the best I've ever seen from an Eagles linebacker.
His desire to get out there and just do whatever it takes to help the team to win, that's a great place to start. But yeah, the way that he runs. For a guy who was supposed to just be an edge guy, it just belies common sense that this guy would be able to do everything so well.
Yeah, no question. All right, Ed, I need a big-time answer from you. Wildest play in sports history is which one?
I think this is the last time it was ever done. How about Eric Bruntlett's unassisted triple play in 2009 to end the game?
Well, it's a great play, but it has happened more than once. But it's always cool when you see it. Bruntlett.
I think it is. He's right. I think it's the last unassisted one, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
It might be. I don't know.
You know what's maybe the wildest play ever? That thing that happened with the Pirates about 4 or 5 years ago. Remember the guy that the dude ran from first base to home plate to try to tag the guy, but then he realized the other guy was coming from third to home.
Oh, yeah.
Ruben, I think that's the most wild play I ever saw in baseball.
Well, it was the shortstop for the Cubs that hit a ground ball, and then he started running back from first base.
Yeah,
and all the guy had to do is like
touch first base,
and that was it. And the guy from second scored from second. It was insane. I just saw that highlight again.
It was nuts. All right, let's welcome in Ross Tucker. Of course, he does an incredible job covering both the Eagles and the entire National Football League. The Ross Report, CBS announcer, the whole deal, and we welcome him this morning. Good morning, Ross.
Morning. What's up?
I mean, fired up, man. Playoffs. This is, look, Ross, I'm very confident. Now, I don't think I'm overconfident for a number of reasons. I mean, one of which is I recognize Green Bay is very good. But the Eagles are clearly a better football team, and I do feel pretty confident we'll win this game Sunday. I mean, Ross, let's get right to it. Is that how you feel, that the Eagles are very likely to win this game?
Well, I do think they're the better team. I'll give you two concerns, right? Yep. I mean, the Packers are top 10 offense and defense for a reason. And if you look at the Super Bowl odds right now, the Eagles have the fifth best odds, right? So it's Lions, Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, and then the Eagles come in fifth. The Packers are seventh. So I only bring that up, Joe. That is not a normal 2-7 matchup.
That's right.
Where you're talking about one team has the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl, the other team has the seventh best odds. What gives me comfort is that the Eagles should be rested, healthy, ready to go, and the Packers are kind of limping into the playoffs. I mean, they did not look great against the Vikings a couple weeks ago in a game that was critical for them. Then they just lost to the Bears for the first time in a long time. And I know that Love didn't play in the second half or whatever. They weren't playing all that great when he was out there.
And by the way, big game for them, Ross. I mean, I think it basically likely prevents them from winning a playoff game. If they were not facing the Eagles, they would have a spectacular chance to win a playoff game, and now I think they're likely to lose. That was a huge game for them, Week 18.
Yeah, I mean, they thought it was. They played their guys.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like, they thought it was important enough to play their guys in that game. That said, the flip side of it would be if we're looking for possible areas of concern, you know, they were the seventh seed last year, and they went into Dallas and absolutely torched the Cowboys. Yep. And if you remember the divisional round, and mostly the same guys, divisional round, oh my gosh, they blew that against the Niners. I mean, I can go back and think of like five or six plays where if they just catch the interception when Purdy throws it right to them, they win that game. So they also kind of have some playoff pedigree. And I'll tell you, Joe, the number one concern I probably have coming into this game, it's probably Jalen Hurts. And not that I don't think he's going to play. I do think he'll end up playing, and we'll see if he practices today. I am a little bit surprised slash confused that it's taken him this much time to progress through the concussion protocol. It's also been a decent amount of time off for him, not only not playing, but not practicing. And then I guess I wonder, I don't know his concussion history. Maybe we should look it up. I'm a little curious the first couple times he runs. Like, I really want to see what Jalen is like the first couple times he runs after being in the concussion protocol at this point now for 2.5 weeks.
So, Ross, I was of that mindset a couple days ago. But I'll tell you this,
Ross. They're holding guys out, Ross.
The more I think about it, here's what I'm guessing happened, Ross. They chose not to practice him last week, and therefore he couldn't be cleared from the concussion protocol because you have to practice one time and then be evaluated to officially be cleared. I think they kind of just bungled it by not practicing him, even if it was for a few minutes last week. And because of that, he technically wasn't allowed to be cleared from concussion protocol. And I say that because the confidence coming from various reporters that are so certain that he's going to play and practice today tells me they probably just got caught in an odd situation last week because they weren't planning on practicing him. And by not practicing him, he technically couldn't clear protocol.
So that sounds very reasonable to me, and I hope that's the case. I didn't think of it that way, Joe. In my mind, my understanding had always been that the team really has no control over the concussion protocol, that that's like a league-mandated thing. And the fact that he didn't practice at all last week, I was a little bit curious about that and a little bit nervous about that. And I would say this, I think that's an interesting decision.
Yeah.
Now he's going to have if that's in fact the case, and that makes a lot of sense, Joe, that's an interesting decision. Hopefully he gets a bunch of practice reps this week and everything's fine. And I mean, look, there's a great chance on Friday. I would just say this to you, John. Yes, it's the end of the season. Yes, it's the playoffs, all those things. Look, I mean, if he had a bad enough concussion that he couldn't go back into the game and he's been in the protocol for a couple of weeks, and maybe Joe's right, I don't know. I mean,
well, then it would be a problem. Yeah.
There are people that think a little bit differently the next time they're out there. The next time they're running, is he going to put his shoulder down? I would think so. I think there's a high likelihood, yet, but I don't know.
But you never know.
I'm not Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. I'm not worried. I am not worried. I understand why you would be, because it's been a while and people get nervous, and it's the playoffs,
yeah,
and this is the highest stakes of all because you lose and you go home. But
I mean, have you seen Tua run now? I mean, there are guys that after they get banged up or after they have an issue, they – you know, and maybe rightfully so, they protect themselves a little bit more.
Like that.
You never know. Probably not, but you never know.
But Jeff Hafley, their defensive coordinator, what's the rundown on the way that he's probably going to try to defend Jalen?
Well, that's what's so interesting because, you know, I did one of his games last year when Boston College played Army. He was the head coach at Boston College. Think about this, guys.
Yeah.
Head coach at Boston College resigns to go become a coordinator in the NFL. You know, back in the day, people would leave being a coordinator in the NFL to get a head job at a big college. He went the other way. I think overall, he's done a good job this year. And I think the thing that gives him a lot of ability to slow down Jalen Hurts is that the Eagles really specialize a lot with Hurts in a lot of the RPOs. And that's like all they do in college. So Hafley should be as well-versed in teaching the read player what he wants him to do. Usually it's that backside outside backer. It could be the nickel. You know, he'll have some good stuff for Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts to try to make that one read on the RPO tougher for Hurts than maybe some other teams did.
Ross, which aspects of the Eagles for this game or the next 5 weeks gives you the most confidence in their ability to win?
Man, you know what's great about that?
So many choices?
Yes. Yeah, I had several. I would say, you know, this is probably my bias, but I'd still go with the offensive line.
It's monster. It's a monster unit.
They have the best offensive line in football. I mean, it's funny because I'm actually doing the game for national radio with T-Mac, with Tom McCarthy. So you can't get it in Philly. You guys obviously be listening to Merrill and Mike, obviously. But there's a lot of stats out there that are crazy for the Eagles. Like the last time a team had the leading rusher and the number one defense.
All right, hold on. Let's take a guess. Hold on.
Okay, yeah.
Leading rusher and number one defense.
It's got to be 85 Bears, right?
I don't know if Walter was leading at that point, but that's a possibility. All right, let's think about this. Who else has a guess here?
Cowboys?
So Emmitt and defense, that's possible. Yeah. That's possible. James, Rhea, Devin, who's got a guess? Leading rusher and number one defense. So Franco Harris, maybe.
Maybe Franco Harris.
Maybe. It could be Riggins and the Redskins.
Yeah.
And how far back was it going?
It wasn't Sonka.
So,
the Broncos Miami defense good Dolphins? Enough for Terrell Davis?
Oh, Terrell Davis.
Yeah, like that was a pretty good
but game. But the Broncos defense,
wasn't great, though. It wasn't the best in football.
All right, this is a good one. My official guess, so Ross, John, is your official guess Walter and 85?
85 Bears, sure.
I'll go with you might be right, Emmitt and Dallas.
I'm going to say Emmitt and Dallas.
What is it, Ross?
It is Emmitt in Dallas.
Wow, nice Amaro. Shot, man.
Ruben Amaro. All right. So extra credit.
Football guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Extra credit, though. Okay. Do you know what year?
Well, it's either 92. Well, it could be 95.
95, yeah.
Could be 92, could be 93, could be 95. Emmitt Smith, by the way, led the NFL in rushing all three of those years, which is very impressive.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know.
Whatever year they beat Neil O'Donnell in the Super Bowl.
I'll give it a shot at 93.
Five.
What's the answer, Russ?
92.
Okay.
The first year, the first of the three Super Bowls, when they, who'd they smash? The Bills.
The Bills, yeah.
Yeah, Ruben, that's unbelievable. Joe.
Every once in a while.
You know what just happened right there? You know what just happened? Ruben Amaro just hit a grand slam off the hammer. How did you not know that, Joe? And Ruben Amaro did.
I love
know
this
it.
Take right here,
did
Ross.
Ruben
great point.
Beat the hammer?
Yes, I
in
think. Does this count?
Knowledge, look no at,
does this count?
Are you okay?
I think it counts.
NFC East knowledge, right? Too.
Sanctioned hammer contest.
And the wheelhouse of my youth. This is not. This
that's
is
for
not,
your ribbon.
This is not good. Ross, I like it, man. All right, 215-592-9494. One thing I don't like is the way Jake Elliott's been kicking lately. Let's listen to yesterday when we talked to Nick Sirianni. We were going to ask about Elliott and what's going on. Here's John with Nick Sirianni.
What's the difference this year? He was so money from any distance previously. It feels like the farther the kick this year, the less confidence we as fans have in him. What's the root of that?
You know, I again, still have so much faith in Jake and what he's done and how he's been so clutch. You know, I think that, you know, he obviously has some misses. We've had a couple that have been at the end of the half where we've really, you know, which a lot of teams do, you push the line there at the end of the half because it's going to be your last play there. You know, I think one got blocked. So all those things you take into account. But I still feel like if there's nobody else in the league I'd rather have if we're lining up to kick a game-winning kick than Jake Elliott. And, you know, again, you guys see it on Sunday, and that's very understandable. But, you know, we get to see it Monday through Saturday of the clutch. You know, we practice different things to put them in high-pressure situations during practice. And so you have faith because of what you see Monday through Saturday. In preparation for Sunday.
We as fans, we just worry so much about whether he's physically like sound. And then we also worry about his head. When he misses a couple, can he bounce back from that adversity?
I think this guy has the definition of dog mentality. So he's the same guy every single day. I love his mentality. You got to have that mentality as a quarterback. You got to have that mentality as a quarterback, as a defensive back, as a kicker, as a wideout, every position in football. You have to have that. And those guys that, you know, there's a reason he's played for as long as he has in this league, that he has that mental toughness to be able to move on and adjust whatever he needs to adjust after a miss and focus on the task at hand. And I have, again, like I said, have no doubt in his mindset, have no doubt in his ability that he'll be ready to go this weekend.
All right, that was Sirianni yesterday. So I'll tell you,
was for the kicker's benefit.
Yeah, like,
this to try to activate.
That's coach
this,
speak.
So
I feel really confident he went into Andy Reid mode of making sure he props up a player publicly.
Yeah.
Ross, my theory is that Sirianni goes into this game knowing that he should coach around Jake Elliott's recent deficiencies, and if a situation arises, we'll do so. What do you think, Ross?
I love that you brought this topic up, because you know how people always talk about analytics, and you know, like ESPN will show at the bottom of the graphic, like the analytics say go for it or whatever. What really bothers me about that is I know the analytics guys for a bunch of teams. They all have their own internal model. They all have their own stuff that they put in. So it's not like some Bible. Why am I bringing that up? Because I think they need to calculate for Jake.
Yep.
I think when they run their models for this game and they include the fact that they're the favorite and weather and everything, you know, it's not – I don't believe it's dynamic during the game, but it certainly is specific to that week. I do think – that whatever they previously have had as a, you know, whatever the situation, let's say it's a 54-yard field goal or it's 4th and 3, that might have been a go for it before. I mean, that might have been a kick it before.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's a go for it.
To me, to me, that's a definite go for the 4th down. Let me ask you this one, Ross. Let's make it even closer. First drive, so I'm taking out every possible, like it's late game, and I'm who knows, you're down 8, you're up 8, you're up 4, like I'm none of that. 0-0, first drive, 47-yard field goal, or 4th and 4. I'm going for 4th and 4. I am.
So here's, so I got mixed emotions about that.
It's a tough one, but I'm telling you, I don't trust them right now.
Okay, but here's the thing. If you do that, now you're really getting in Jake Elliott's head.
I know.
And now everything he just said to you guys yesterday,
I know,
he's basically going against. So then next week when he comes on, he can't say he still has the utmost confidence, because you can say, Coach, you don't have the – like you would have – now maybe he'll say, listen, 4th and 4, we had – you know, actually that's what he would say. He would say, 4th and 4, yeah, look, right, we were rolling. I love the play call from Kellen. I think I could be a very good – give coach answer.
Yeah, but Ross, here's the flip side, John. Here's what
doesn't
Ross
erase the problem. Like the fact that we can talk around it and stuff. Like I'm so worried that this could be the difference in the game.
Well, it was
when it matters against a team that we're neck and neck with.
Well, first off, it could matter against Green Bay, because let's be real, even though the Eagles are better, it's still a point spread under a touchdown. Like this is not supposed to be a blowout. You know, the last time the Eagles played Green Bay in the playoffs, they lost in large part because David Akers missed 2 field goals. Love them. But
I feel good about our chances in this game.
No, I do too.
But it's a very losable game, though.
It is a losable game.
Yeah,
Think about it this way. If they were playing the Denver Broncos, the 7th seed in the 8th, they're not losing that game. You know what I mean? Like there's several. If they're playing the Steelers, the 6th seed in the AFC, they're not losing the Steelers. The Packers, I think, are good enough and have enough playoff pedigree with what they did last year that if they come out and they go down for a touchdown on their first drive, like the Packers, then look out, because it's on.
All right, let's get some calls in here. 215-592-9494. Reminder, coming up at 8 o'clock, your chance to hear a name, that with that name you can win tickets to the Eagles and the Packers on Friday's show. So, game's on Sunday. Friday we're giving away a pair of tickets, Eagles and Packers. Listen, coming up in 10 minutes for a name, and that name, Friday at 8, you got to know it, and with that name you can win tickets to the Eagles and the Packers, and what a coveted game it's going to be.
And, of course, courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
I mean, these are coveted tickets. Yeah, win them Friday on our show. All right, let's go to Andy right now in Deptford. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, team.
Hi, Andy.
Dan trying to steal my logo, man. It's only one person that's we live, we hot. Come on now, Dan.
Yeah. I don't know if he was trying to steal it. Yeah, that's probably not the word I would use.
I think he was mocking you, but it's all right.
I don't know. I think he was maybe paying some homage, Hammer.
Let me tell you something.
About that.
There's a 0% chance of that.
Oh, come on. You just mad because I crushed you yesterday. But let's get on to today, right? A topic that nobody's really discussing with the Eagles, I'd love to get everybody's opinion on. Jason Kelce with the late night show. What's your guys' feeling on that, if you have or haven't seen it?
I saw it. I was there. I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Oh, you were there? You
went? You were in the room for it. Look at you, big guy. Yeah. You haven't even mentioned that yet.
Oh, big time Charlie.
You bury the lead a little bit, huh?
Everybody relax.
Yeah. That's pretty solid.
I thought it was very, very solid. I think there are parts better than others. I liked the first roundtable segment the most, which was the one on Saquon. Now, look, obviously that's going to appeal to us. They're clearly going to have to do more nationally to appeal to the nation, you know, with greater frequency.
Yeah,
but I thought the Saquon discussion was the best part of the show. I thought it was really, really good.
I thought the show was solid, but first show, so you got to iron out the wrinkles. But it had more of like a Larry the Cable Guy feel to me than like a late night show.
Well,
and,
yeah. Listen,
like
it's going
to
be
chugging beer competition on late night. Like, I mean, come on, Kelce. Like, I know everything you touch goes to gold, but like, you got to do better than chugging beers on the late night. That's kind of like
well, here's what I'll say about that, Andy, because it's an interesting point. But I'll say this: I think the show John and I had in James, 2016, October 2016. I thought we stunk. They stunk
flat out
all the way up through April of 2017, and maybe some people still think we stunk. But my point is, I thought we were bad for 6 months.
Yeah.
So part of these things, I mean, it's one show. You got to give them time to grow into it.
Right. I mean, like you said, your first show you felt it was bad, but like, I mean,
no, our first
saying,
6 months,
hey, 6 months was bad.
First 6 months I thought were bad.
Somebody had an idea, like, we're going to get some callers to chug beers live on the air. You'd be like, look, our first show may be a little suspect.
Look, they're trying to lean into his personality, which
I
is
thought yeah. It was brave, and I thought it was exciting that they were trying new things. It looks different. It feels different. I like the retro feel of it.
I do,
but
too.
I know that there are times where it felt like it was a little bit wonky and clunky, but I know he's going to work his butt off to improve it for episode number
also,
two,
no,
and I can't wait to see how he tweaks it.
No ripping chugging beers on this show. We're just not going to do it.
Andy, I need an answer. Wildest sports play ever. Which one?
Oh, man, this play created a football play. I mean, does anything get more wilder than Doug Flutie's Hail Mary?
That's a good answer.
It's
right
a very
there.
Good answer.
So it did not create the play.
Yeah, Staubach created it. But.
Correct.
I have a Doug Flutie one.
Huh? Say it again, Ray.
You caught it.
Called what?
Caught the pass.
The Flutie one?
Yeah.
Phalen, I think, right?
Very good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at
that. Nice.
Look at you.
See, the hammer's back.
Let me.
Is he? No, let's not.
Dead hammer! All right.
Okay.
Who caught the one that Roger Staubach threw?
Drew Pearson.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, John, do you know the history of why it's called a Hail Mary? John Ritchie? Devin Caney?
It's like
it has to do with Roger Staubach, right?
Yeah, well, it'd be a little more specific. Ruben Amaro, Rhea?
I do not know Rhea.
He prayed?
Yeah, didn't he say that he prayed before?
He said, I don't know that he actually prayed.
I said
prayed,
the Hail Mary.
But he said it, right?
He said after the game, I dropped back, threw it, and said a Hail Mary.
That's a Catholic thing right there. So. I said a Hail Mary.
And there you go. That was a playoff.
Joe, it really is the perfect thing for what it is, though. Like, it's a perfect way to describe what a Hail Mary as a pass is, you know?
Ruben, go ahead. I mean, Ross, go ahead.
Two quick things for you. One is, when I played for the Cowboys, I interned for Roger Staubach's commercial real estate company.
I mean, he was incredibly successful.
Oh, yeah.
Like, insanely.
And like the awesomest guy. Secondly, there's another thing that Doug Flutie is either the first or the only to ever do. And I was on the field when it happened.
Ooh.
Do you know the answer?
Yeah, hammer! Dead hammer!
So you know the answer.
Dead hammer! Don't even. I mean, Ross, yes. Yes, I do.
What is it?
The drop kick extra point.
Okay, who were we playing against?
Nobody cares about that. It was the last week of the season because it was the last regular season game of his career. So it was probably an AFC East matchup. It was probably the let's go with the New England Patriots against the Bills.
Nope. 2005 season, it was against Nick Saban's Miami Dolphins.
Okay. And that's AFC East. There
and
we go.
Here's how I know. You want to hear something crazy? The Patriots, if they won the game, they would have been the 3 seed and played the Steelers.
Yep.
If they lost, they'd be the 4 and play the Jaguars, So I'd only been there for a few weeks. Belichick put me in for the whole second half. Like, I was the guy they put in to try to help lose the game because they didn't want to play the Steelers.
That's
and here's what's crazy. We go down the field and score a touchdown with 3 seconds left. And instead of kicking the extra point to go to overtime, we go for two. And there are – I've asked Matt Castle this a million times. You got to pull this up. He threw the worst pass I've ever seen on a two-point play of all time. And a lot of us are convinced Belichick said to him, under no circumstances do you complete this pass.
That's funny.
I just saw Albert Breer tweet about it this week.
I bet it's true. That's great. All right, Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's their people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. A lot of talk today on our show. What gives you the most confidence about this game in the next month? What concerns you the most about this game in the next month? We have the concern ledger in a Twitter poll question, which is, which of these is your greatest concern against Green Bay? Is it A, Jake Elliott, who we were just talking about? B, Jalen Hurts with the rust factor? C, Nick Sirianni, which I would not have as a concern at all, but I know some people through the Delaware Valley do. He does make some unconventional calls sometimes in-game. So you have that possibility. D, the Packers. I mean, the Packers are a legit team, and they are certainly a cause for concern. So you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. One of the things that's going to be interesting about the game, and we probably won't know until Sunday, perhaps is until around 3:30 or 3 o'clock maybe, when the who's in and who's out and all that comes out. But who's going to be the number two quarterback? We talked to Nick Sirianni yesterday about this topic. Here's the exchange with Sirianni. Have you made a decision yet on who your designated number two QB will be in the postseason, Kenny Pickett or Tanner McKay?
You know, I think the main thing is just I got so much confidence in that entire room. You know, it's a good problem to have. You know, Kenny's played really good. When, you know, Kenny played, I felt like, a really good game against Washington. And then for the first half plus against Dallas to put us in a position, you know, that we were winning the game when he came out, pretty sound. And then, you know, Tanner came in and played the rest of that game really well, and I thought he played a really good game there. And so we have three guys that we feel really good about, which, you know, that there's something to be said about that, and really have a ton of confidence in all three of those guys. And it's been, you know, we're able to see the backups play with Kenny and with Tanner, and they just got some really good reps and some great film out there, and kind of showed us what we were expecting, you know, based off our you know, how we see them and view them in practice.
You know, an interesting answer. He didn't commit to either. And it may be because of the Kenny Pickett ribs factor. I mean, there's certainly a chance that he would prefer to go with Kenny Pickett, but doesn't because of the ribs. Guys, let's go a hypothetical here. Right around the room, everyone on the record. Hypothetical, if Kenny Pickett is deemed fully healthy. Rhea, if Pickett is fully healthy and Tanner McKay, obviously fully healthy, which would you go with?
Tanner McKay.
James?
Pickett.
Ruben?
Tanner McKay.
Okay, 2-1 Tanner McKay. Devin, what do you got?
Tanner McKay.
3-1 Tanner McKay. Ross, what do you got?
Fully healthy. Are we saying just to come off the bench or to start?
Back
the
a quarterback fully healthy.
Number two, which means the other guy only gets in if the other two are taken out for the remainder of the game by rule.
Yeah, I would say Pickett if he's 100% because of his legs and the amount of big games he's been in.
All right, 3-2, John.
But by the way, I would have a quick. I would be ready to have a quick hook on him.
You're really strong on this, John.
All right, John, 3-2.
Kenny Pickett's the backup quarterback, and they're not going to change that unless he's hurt too badly to play up to his capabilities, in which case I feel very confident handing the keys to the backup position to Tanner McKay.
So I'm going to give you a weird answer. I mean, ultimately, the answer for me is Kenny Pickett. So Pickett wins our little internal 4-3.
Kenny Pickett has been a starter in this league.
Yeah, but
that experience is what they value most, and I'm
go
good with that.
Pickett, and if he struggles, they'll go to McKay.
So I don't think they value that most, John. I think the reason it would be Kenny Pickett, I'm saying would, not will, would be if Pickett's fully healthy, which we don't know that he will be, is to what you said, John, and you said this all week. Not to disrupt things. It's been Pickett all year. Don't create a ripple that could create an effect.
Think about the way he talks about keeping everything status quo.
I know he does. And
this is not, if you make this change,
yeah.
How does that keep anything status quo? That throws everything into upheaval.
Well, here's my answer where it gets twisted. So my answer is Kenny Pickett to keep things status quo. And I agree with whoever said, I think it was Ross or Ruben, someone said a quick yank if need be. I will tell you this. If Hurts was not able to play in this game from the beginning, I would start Tanner McKay. That I don't know if you guys understand the distinction I'm making.
I do.
I think Tanner McKay is better, but I would have Kenny Pickett as the designated two if Hurts plays to not upset the apple cart when the apple cart might not even be needed. The second quarterback might not even be needed to play. Does that make sense, Ross?
1,000%. The other factor is I don't know how much Pickett practiced, if at all, last week. Tanner McKay got a ton of reps. Tanner McKay is feeling very good right now about the offense, his place in it, which, by the way, was, you know, they had 6 under center play action passes.
Yeah. Good.
In that game. The most that Hurts, I think, has had this year in a game is 3. So what they told us is that they have those plays. They don't think that that's what Hurts does best.
Clearly.
They don't want to put Hurts in that situation.
Yep,
but they do think McKay does it well.